Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with surrender to God as we pick up in Joel chapter 2, verse 13. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
God doesn't like to use harsh means. He only does so because he loves you so much that he can't let you just destroy yourself. So when you are headstrong, going your own path of destruction, God will sometimes use very severe means to stop you and to get your attention. Maybe the death or the illness of someone that is very dear and close to you. God doesn't like to use those means. But unfortunately, many times we are so dull in our spiritual sensitiveness that God has to use stringent measures before we ever respond. It repents him, though. He doesn't like using these kind of measures. Turn to God, for who knows just what God will do in helping you, blessing you. Who knows the blessings that God has in store for your life? Who knows what glorious things God has in mind for you? Surely I never dreamed in my wildest dreams all of the glorious, blessed things God had for my life. Oh, how thankful I am I turned my life over to God. Oh, what a blessing has been mine because I turned my life over to God. Far more than I ever dreamed or thought. Who knows what God has in mind for you? As Dwight Moody was challenged by the statement, "The world has yet to see what God will do through a man who will totally surrender his life to God." Who knows what God wants to do in and through your life? You'll never know until you totally surrender yourself to him. Turn to God with your whole heart. For who knows just what blessing God may have in mind for you. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly of the people. Gather the people and sanctify the congregation. Assemble together the elders and gather the children and those that are nursing. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. And let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, "Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?" And so it is a time of national revival. Call the people together before God. And this day will come in Israel, as they are threatened by this insurmountable foe from a natural standpoint. They'll be forced to cry out unto God. And of course, God calls upon the ministers to pray between the porch and the altar that God would spare his people from the devastation and the destruction of this enemy. And as a result, the Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yes, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, "Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you will be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. And I will drive him into a land that is barren and desolate. And with his face toward the east sea and the hinder part towards the utmost sea, and his smell shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things." When we were over in Israel in 1973 and the Yom Kippur War broke out, we did not at that point know just how deeply Russia may become involved. Any one of those skirmishes have the potential of escalating into a full-scale invasion by Russia of the Middle East. 1973 almost did. The Russians were poised to send troops into the Middle East to bring a peace, what they called a peace, but what was really entailed was an invasion of Israel. They were planning that in 1973 when President Nixon called for a worldwide alert of all of our armed forces and Russia turned back. When we were there in Israel, I felt just as safe as a child in its crib, because I knew that God was going to protect the land. I didn't know about the United States. I sort of felt sorry for you here at home. There may be some stray nuclear weapons sent this direction, but God is going to protect the people, the land, when Russia invades. People say, oh, aren't you afraid to go over there with all the turmoil? I feel safer there than I do walking the streets here. God's watching over that land. God's going to take care of them. Be not afraid. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree bears her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, the interesting thing is that one thing that has happened in Israel is the return of what they call the former and the latter rains. They begin to get their first rain sometime in October, late October, November. And now they are beginning to get good, heavy rains in the springtime. And it is causing the land to just produce so abundantly all of the rain that they are now giving. And God promised that he would restore again the former rain and the latter rain, something that the land did not have for over 2,000 years, but now again is experiencing each year. Tell me that God's word isn't true. Tell me that God doesn't know what he's talking about. The evidence is the nation of Israel, all of the evidence anybody would ever need. The floor shall be full of wheat. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God's promise of the restoration of the years that were destroyed when they were away from God. You know, this is what the prophet was saying. God is gracious. God is merciful. It's tragic what we do with our lives. I think one of the saddest things in the world is wasted potential. I see young people with such tremendous potential. Good minds, good personalities, talented. And I see them just wasting their lives, doing such foolish things, doing things that for years they will suffer the consequences. And I think of the wasted potential, and I think that that's one of the greatest tragedies of our day, are the lives, the wasted potential of lives. Today, when we got home from church, We looked out the window, and in the schoolyard behind us, we saw these young boys on their bicycles. Little boys, 10, 11 years old. And they looked up and they saw my wife looking at them out the window, and so they sort of ducked aside because they had just struck a match. And Kay said, "Those little kids are getting ready to smoke marijuana." And sure enough, in a moment, the old smell, you know, came in the window. And so I went down and I said to the kids, "You know, hey, don't appreciate that around here." But I looked at these little kids and I thought, oh, how sad, how tragic that on a Sunday afternoon, these little tiny boys have nothing better to do than to get a joint and get loaded. What a waste of life. I've seen just too many people with altered personalities and diminished capacities as a result of smoking marijuana, to think that here they are starting so young in a pattern that can just diminish their entire future, the capacity for the future. Don't tell me it isn't habit forming. I've met too many who can't quit. Don't tell me it doesn't alter the personality. I've met too many altered personalities. I've observed too many people who they are not aware that their personality is altered. But it's obvious to anyone standing apart and looking at them. They still think they're cool. They still think that they're handling things. They still think that everything is all right. But they have an altered personality. Very observable to someone on the outside. And I think of wasted potential, wasted life, how tragic it is. But then, the glorious gospel that we have. God restores to a person those wasted years. That's so beautiful. Therein is the grace of God. I look at so many of the young men who are in the ministry today who began that path of wasted lives. I think of Mike McIntosh down there in San Diego. When Mike first came, he was so spaced out. He had so destroyed his brain with acid and speed that I wondered if Mike would ever be normal. He went around for over 6 months in a paranoid state. He thought that someone was holding a .45 and pulling the trigger, and he heard the sound of the explosion of the gun for 6 months. So spacey. I wondered, will Mike ever recover? And I saw a handsome young man. And I thought, oh, what a wasted life. Clever young man. Personable young man, but destroyed himself. But then we saw the work of God, and we saw God begin to restore those wasted years. His wife had left him, figured that he was just down the path and no value, no good, and it was all over for Mike as far as she was concerned, and she was right. And she took the little child and left him rather than trying to hang on any longer and couldn't stand to see him destroy himself. But God restored his wife. Gave him, now he's got 5 children, I think. And God restored his sanity. God restored Mike in such a beautiful way. And now pastors, that highly evangelical assembly of people there in San Diego, reaching out to the world for Jesus Christ. That glorious work of God restoring to man the things that he destroyed by his own stupidity. And so God says, I will restore to you those years that have been devoured. Therein is the grace of God. And you shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Now the Lord tells us in Ezekiel 38, when he destroys the invading Russian army, that his name will be sanctified before the nations of the earth, and they will know that he is God. And they will know that God will fight and does fight for his people Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward, or in the last days, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, this prophecy of Joel really pertains to these last days. It has often been misunderstood, because Peter went on the day of Pentecost and the Spirit was poured out upon the gathered church, and there was the accompanying signs of the pillars of fire, the speaking in other languages, and a noise like a mighty rushing wind, that when the people assembled and they heard these people speaking the various dialects from the nations from which they came, they marveled and wondered greatly at what was going on, as they heard them glorifying God in their various dialects. And they asked the question, what does this mean? And others who were standing around sort of mocked and said, man, they've gotten hold of some new wine someplace. They're really drunk. And so Peter stood up, addressing himself to the gathered multitude. He said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Listen to me, for these men are not drunken as ye suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, too early to be drunk. But you remember what their question was, what does this mean? Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and he quotes this prophecy. Now, because Peter quoted it and declared that what they were seeing was what Joel had spoken about, people have assumed that it was the complete fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Not so. In fact, Peter didn't even say it was the fulfillment of the prophecy. You see, the fulfillment indicates a complete filling. It wasn't. It was just the beginning of the outpouring of God's Spirit. But the real prophecy of Joel does not pertain to the day of Pentecost, but the real prophecy of Joel pertains to the last days. It pertains to the nation of Israel when God restores to Israel his position of divine favor and blessing. And Israel will once be again the instrument of God to bring light into the world. And it shall come to pass afterward, after Israel is restored, none of them are ashamed, that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon my servants and handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit. and I will show wonders. And of course, the Bible speaks of these wonders that will happen in the great tribulation. The wonders in the heaven, the sun darkened, the moon turned to blood. These are referred to by Jesus as a part of the period of the great tribulation. And these things will all happen before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. That is the day of the glorious return of Jesus Christ in power and glory. And it shall come to pass that even in that day, during the great tribulation, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, will be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant, God's faithful remnant, whom the Lord will call. So this is yet to be fulfilled. It is a prophecy that is yet future, and its real fulfillment is yet to take place.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Joel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Joel 2 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied, and may He bring to your remembrance those things which He has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and His will and His plan for your life. May the Lord be with you, to bless you, to guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in Him. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Through the course of the years, you, our radio listeners, have provided us with valuable feedback as to what has impacted you the most, or what has moved you spiritually in your walk with God. So it's with great pleasure that The Word for Today is pleased to offer you a collection of all-time favorites entitled Pastor Chuck Smith's Most Requested Bible Studies. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa over the past 40 years. They represent the very best Bible studies by Pastor Chuck Smith. Every message is dynamic and filled with rich insights as Pastor Chuck expounds upon relevant issues on a variety of topics related to the Christian faith. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order a copy of Pastor Chuck's Most Requested Bible Studies available on MP3 by calling The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.